Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, serve day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelite. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High.
Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, serve day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelite. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight. Black Plight.
When he's pulling that sheriff out, look out, Chris. Look out, Moose. That's how bad you are. Cause your mouth is terrible. It's a weapon of mass destruction. All right, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Praises be to the mighty Yah. Shalom and welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show. I am your host, Ishyah Yisrael, from the House of Yisrael of Atlanta, Georgia, here on blogtalkradio.com/House of Yisrael ATL. And we welcome you again this evening to another beautiful Black Plight Radio program to glorify the words of the mighty Yahweh. And tonight's program is asking the question, the very important question, is anything too hard for Yahweh? And by the end of this show, we will know that there is nothing too hard for Yahweh. But there are many things that are very hard for JC. But before we get into the program, we're going to play a new song, a brand new song from Eliyah Yisrael entitled Commit.
Thy words unto Yah and thy thoughts shall be established, be established. Commit thy words unto God, and thy thoughts shall be established, be established.
There is nothing too hard, there is nothing too hard, there is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard, there is nothing too hard, there is nothing too hard, there is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard.
Sarah laughed in the heart. Yah gave her a child in her old age. Yah did depart. The Red Sea, Moses did many signs with a rod. David sheared the sheep. Yahweh anointed him, caused him to be king. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Hashem 6,000 men to put 10,000 to flight. Who made the great lights? Sun for day, moon for night. Flooded the whole earth. Chose the fuels of people, made them populate the whole earth. Remember what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, son of Reuben. How the earth opened her
mouth in, swallow them up in the households, in their tents, and all of their substance. The Mount Sinai smoked, just like the fury furnace, like the Hebrew boys walk through. Moshe face to face, he talked to Mayweather, come out the flint of a rock. Yeah, he did. Nothing is too hard for Yah, only if you commit.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. Be established.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall
be established. Be established.
There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard.
Who would have thought he will make bread rain from heaven? They ate manna for 40 years, delivered us from all our fears. Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Samson slew a young lion with his own bare hands. Yahweh gave him the power to defeat those low down, dirty, uncircumcised Philistines. Speaking of those Philistines, there was a giant named Goliath. David killed the man for his trust in Yahweh, who is the highest of the high, stretched out the sky, who made the sea and I, gave us lights for days, seasons, years, also for signs. Passed over all houses, will take us out of this bondage. His word will not come back, boy, but it will accomplish. Remember what he did to who? Yosef. Remember what he did to who? Miriam. By the way, when he turned white, was leprous as snow. Nothing is too hard for Yah, if you didn't know.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. Be established.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall
be established. Be established.
There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard.
Trust in the way, in the good, so shall thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be filled. Delight thyself also in Yahweh.
Upgrade your sound system and start making hits.
Yahweh, commit thy way unto Yahweh. Yahweh, Yahweh, trust also in him, and he shall bring you to pass. Trust also in him, and he shall bring you to pass. Trust also in him, and he shall bring you to pass. And he shall bring you to pass. And he shall bring you to pass.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. Be established.
Commit thy words unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall
be established. Be established.
There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. There is nothing too hard.
Hallelujah. Welcome back to the Black Plight Radio Show. Again with your host, Ishai Yisrael. And that was Eliah Yisrael with Commit. Commit thy works unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. And tonight's show is making and asking the question, is anything too hard for Yahweh? And we all know the answer. No, there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. But there does seem to be some things that are very difficult for the Christ of the New Testament. So we're going to look into this very important subject. Is anything too hard for Yah? If you look in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, we'll see here, beginning at the 9th verse, it states, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my master being old also?" And Yahweh said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Hallelujah. So we see Yahweh knows all things. He knew Sarah laughed. And he had to ask, is anything too hard for Yah? Anything too hard for the creator of the whole entire earth, of everything, the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that in them is? Is there anything too hard for Yahweh? And no, because Yahweh told Abraham Sarah would have a child, and that child was Yitzchak, Isaac. And if Yahweh didn't tell the truth, we wouldn't be here today. So we know that there's nothing too hard for Yah. But to all those, all our brothers and sisters that have been lost, taken away from the true ways of the Almighty, and that refuse to wake up, we will show you right now that there are some things that are just too hard for JC. First, let me ask you this question. Is it too hard for JC to keep and teach the law of Yah? Is it? Well, I'll have to say, frankly, the answer is yes. There is. That is too hard for JC. And if you disagree with what I'm saying, the number is 323-443-7418. 323-443-7418. And we're proving right now that there are things too hard for the Christ of the New Testament. But is that what they want you to believe? Look in the book of Revelation, the first chapter. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, in verse, let's start at the fourth verse. It states, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from JC, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so." And in red letters, letting you know, this is Christ talking, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. Isn't that what John just said about JC? The Almighty. Uh-oh. Well, let's see if he's the Almighty. Let's see if he is the Almighty. There should be nothing too hard for him. So let's see if there's anything too hard for JC. Now, was it too hard for JC to keep and teach the law, be it that he was supposed to be the perfection of the law, wrapped up in flesh? Let's see what the law states in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. As a matter of fact, let's go to the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and the 3rd verse. It states, "Ye shall fear every man his father, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am Yahweh, your Elohim." All right. Fear every man his mother and his father. Let's see if the so-called, self-proclaimed, Almighty JC actually upheld this law when he came to earth. In the book of St. John, the 2nd chapter, the 1st verse, it states, "And the 3rd day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Christ was there. And both JC was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of JC saith unto him, They have no wine. JC saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come." Whoa. Why did JC respond so harshly to his mother? If he is supposed to be the perfection of the law, why did he speak to his mother and call her woman? Who calls their mother woman? I had a brother on my show some weeks ago who said JC was here to show people how to be perfect with the law. And I asked him about this scripture. And I said, "Do you speak to your mother like that?" He said, "No." Now, JC is supposed to be the perfection of the law, but Christians won't speak to their mother the way JC spoke to their mother, his mother. And he said he's the Almighty, so why does he even have a mother? He said he's the Alpha and the Omega, so how does he even have a mother? If he's the first and the last, if he's the first, then why does he have a mother? Why does he have a grandmother? Why is there a lineage for him if he's the first and the last? And if he has a mother, how is he the first? And why, if he's supposed to be the perfection of the law, did he call his mother woman? I don't even call my own wife woman in seriousness. So how are we going to call our mothers woman? Now, all those that say they keep the law but follow after the Christ of the New Testament, that be on the street corners yelling at people, you see why they disrespect women. Because Christ disrespected women. So it was too hard for JC to keep that law. But is there anything too hard for Yahweh? Still, the answer is no for Yahweh. Because we see that there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. He allowed Sarah at her old age to have a son. But JC couldn't keep and uphold the laws of Yahweh. And he said that he's the Almighty in the book of Revelations. And he said that he's the perfection. And they tell you that JC is the perfection of the law. Well, we see right here 1 point to Yahweh and 0 to JC. For is there anything too hard? Now, let's see. Is it too hard for Yahweh or his servants to keep and teach the law? Well, of course not. Of course it's not too hard. Let me show you why. If we go to the book of Exodus, first let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. And know all those listening that believe somebody else died for your sins, they don't know how to wrap themselves around Deuteronomy 24, verse 16. Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, the 16th verse states, "The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sins." That's what Yahweh stated. Now, is it too hard for Yahweh himself to uphold that law? We see that it was too hard for JC to uphold the law of fear every man, his mother, and his father. But is it too hard for Yahweh to uphold his own law that he made about this particular subject of can anybody die for your sins? Well, of course it's not too hard for Yah. Look in the book of Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus, the 32nd chapter, the 30th verse, it states, "And it came to pass on the morrow." And what does morrow mean? Morrow means the next day. "That Moshe said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto Yahweh. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moshe returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them Elohim of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And Yahweh plagued the people because they made the calf which Aharon had made." So what do we see here? We see that Yahweh did not go against the law of Deuteronomy 24 and 16. Yahweh did not let anybody die for the sins of the people. He said, whosoever has sinned against me shall I blot out of my book. Moses was a willful sacrifice. He willingly sacrificed himself. He said, hey, take me out of the book, Yahweh, take me out. But Yah said, no, Moshe. He said, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And he said, he will visit their sin upon them. Moses didn't cry tears and sweat drops as big as blood when he saw that he could help his people. But was it too hard for JC to be as willing as Moses was to die for his people? I mean, JC wasn't even dying for anybody. But was he as willing as Moses? So far we see there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. He still upholds his law. But, and we also see, it wasn't even too hard for Moses to give his life for his own people. Even though Yahweh said, no, you can't do that, Moses, he was still willing. He was still ready to go take one for his people because he loved his people. Moses looked left, Moses looked right, and he took that man out that was oppressing his brother, afflicting his brother. JC told him to put the swords away. My goodness. JC, Moses was willing to die for the entire nation. JC, well, let's see. Let's go to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Let's see if it was too hard for JC to stand in the gap. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Start at the 36th verse. And if you have any rebuttals about what I'm saying, the number is 323-443-7418. The book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 36th verse states, "Then cometh JC with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch me with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, if, you hear what he said? If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as thy will, but as thou wilt." Because what else can you say to the Almighty? You can only say, hey, if you will, if you want to, if it's possible, if you find it in your heart, you can't command him. And then you can only say, but, you know, I know if you don't want me to, then it's your will that's going to be done. But please, if it's possible, take this cup out of my hand. Then look at the 42nd verse. He said he went again. And the second time, and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he did it a third time, asking the Father. Now, again, as we read in Revelations, the first chapter, in the, I believe that was the 9th verse, JC said that he was the Alpha and the Omega, or the 11th verse. He also said the Almighty. He said that which has came, that which is to come, and that which is. He called himself the Alpha and the Omega. He said that he is the Almighty. That was Revelation, the first chapter, the 8th verse. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty. Alrighty. We'll see. And we see that JC, he prayed to the Father and asked him to take away the cup. Now, how the Almighty going to pray to the Father? How the Almighty got a Father? You all powerful. How you have a Father? If you're the first and you're the last, how in the world you have a Father? Again, I asked that question. It seems that it was though too hard for JC to uphold the laws of the Most High, and it was also too hard for JC to be as willing as Moshe was to die for the people. But we see that means 3-0. Let's see. Is it too hard for Yahweh to forgive all of your sins, your iniquities? Is it too hard for Yahweh to forgive every iniquity you have done? No, it's not too hard. There's nothing too hard for Yah. Look in the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms 103. Now, if you serve JC, think JC is the Messiah, call on JC when you pray, go to church to serve JC, sing songs to JC. On the Sabbath day, you're talking about JC. Call him Yehoshua, Yahawashah, Yehoshawawa, whatever you call him. Put him in your lyrics. Put him on your books. Kiss his cross. Do anything towards JC. Let it be known this night that we have just proven already that there are many things too hard for JC, and there's nothing too hard for Yahweh, and that means that we, those who fear Yah, serve the Elohim of power, strength, truth, might, justice, righteousness. He's the true Elohim. If your JC was any power, if he was telling the truth, if he really is the Almighty, then there's a problem that the all-powerful, supposedly that you think is JC, has things that are too hard for him. Well, we see there's nothing too hard for Yahweh. And we'll prove right now that it is not too hard for Yahweh to forgive you of all your iniquities. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You heard that, didn't you? I tried to make sure you heard it. Look in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Let's see if there's anything too hard for Yahweh. Is it too hard for Yahweh to forgive all your sins? Isaiah 44. Start at verse 21. It states, remember these, O Yaakov, O Jacob, and Yisrael. That's you, black man and woman in America. Jacob, the children of Israel, he said, remember this, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. That's why he said he'll always leave those that will remember Yahweh. He says, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for Yahweh hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein, for Yahweh hath redeemed Yaakov and glorified himself in Israel. There's nothing too hard for Yah. He can forgive all your sins. He already did. He said, just return unto him, because he's redeemed you already. Now you're waiting for JC to save you, but he won't even forgive all your sins. Did you know that? JC will not forgive every one of your sins. No, he will not. But Yahweh said that he will forgive all, and he already has. Go to the book of Isaiah 59. I know this word is great. Yahweh is great. Yahweh is wonderful. Hallelujah. Look in Isaiah 59. Look what Yahweh states. He says in Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has uttered perverseness. He's saying this is what you're doing. He's already redeemed you. He's already forgiven us. But we will not let go of our iniquities. He said, with our mouth, we are so close to him, but our hearts are far from him. So turn from your evil ways and look at the salvation of Yahweh. He said he will forgive you of all your iniquities. All of them. One more place to prove to you, Yahweh said all of them. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Not one of them, not some of them, not 99% of them, but every last one of them. Praise Yah. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse. Yahweh states, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is righteous and lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Hath I any pleasure in the death, in that the wicked should die, saith Yahweh, and not that he should return from his ways and live? You see, Yahweh, he said all of your transgressions will be forgotten. But is that too hard for JC to do? JC said he was almighty. Is that too hard for JC to do? Is it too hard for JC to forgive all of your iniquities? Let's see here. Go to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. The book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. And we'll see if JC matches up with Yahweh, since him and his father are one. Let's see here. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, start reading at the 31st verse, and we will see what the Christ of the New Testament has to testify to you today. He states, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. Now, all means everything, right? All means everything. We're going to see how double-hearted your so-called Savior is. JC states again in Matthew 12 and 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But, there's a but there. When my father used to tell me to do things when I was coming up, he would say, boy, I need you to do this, that, and the third, and I don't want to hear no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That means that's what he wanted me to do, nothing else. He done told me everything he want me to do, and he let me know no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, that's how Yahweh is. He says, this is what it is. No ifs, no buts, no ands. JC said, all sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven of man. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. You see that? But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow. What a devil that Holy Ghost is. Oops, did I speak against the Holy Ghost? What a devil this Holy Ghost must be that does not have as much mercy as the Creator of all flesh. Look in Psalms 136. Psalms 136 states here. Psalms 136. Let's see. Psalms 136, verse 4 says, to him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. That's Yahweh. He alone does great wonders. And his mercy endureth forever. And he doesn't need no Holy Ghost to say, don't speak against him. Yahweh alone doeth great wonders, and his mercy endureth forever. But JC is just too hard for him to teach that there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. He had to teach you and had to proclaim and let you know and warn you that your blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven. But we showed that Yahweh will forgive all transgressions, all sins, all iniquities. So that's four things that are not too hard for Yahweh, and zero that is just too hard. And for JC, there's just nothing too hard for Yah, and there's nothing good or easy enough for JC. I mean, what is it? It's like he can't do anything. It's too hard for him to do anything. He can't forgive sins. He can't uphold the law. What else did we show? He can't be a willful sacrifice. So everybody that thinks JC was the willing sacrifice, they've lied to you, because he asked the Father three times to please take the cup. But we know that it was just too damn hard for JC to be a willful sacrifice. Well, let me ask this question. Is it too hard for Yahweh to fulfill the prophecies? Is it too hard for Yahweh's servants to speak true prophecies? No, it's not too hard. There is nothing too hard for Yah. Let's look at Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Some prophecies in there that Yahweh proclaimed. Let's get right to the meat of some of them. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 68, states, and Yahweh shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you, meaning no man shall redeem you, save you. Now, how do we get over into this new Egypt that we're in today? This is Egypt, brothers and sisters. Our enemies already know they're in Egypt, but this is Egypt. Mississippi River flows from south to north, just like the Nile River. There's pyramids all up and down that river they don't tell you about. This is Egypt. The word president is what they call the kings in Egypt, president. There's obelisks all over this country. and a big one in Washington, D.C., just like they had in Egypt. You got the Sphinx in Egypt and Lincoln sitting on a chair in this new Egypt. You got the White House in America, the new Egypt, and you had the White House in Egypt. You have the Freemasonic Order in this new Egypt, and you had the Order of Osiris in the ancient Egypt. Same difference. You had the Divine Nine in this new Egypt, the fraternities, and you have the same fraternal organizations in the old Egypt. You have the Eastern Stars in this new Egypt, and you had the Order of Isis in ancient Egypt. This is Egypt, brothers and sisters. That's what this is. And we've been brought here in ships. That's how we got here. That's why you have this so-called hurricane, what they want to name them after our forefather, Isaac, coming through the same route they took our ancestors through to come destroy all the slave stops, mess their coast up a little bit, kill some of their descendants, because Yahweh is the Elohim of justice. And this is Egypt. Are we not here as he's prophesied? Did we not come here in ships? That's not too hard for Yahweh to do, to make a prophecy and fulfill it. Let me show you another prophecy that's not too hard for Yahweh to fulfill. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 26th verse. He clearly states right here, I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Yes, and let's give another confirmation of that. Psalms 83. Let's go to Psalms, the 83rd chapter here. And it states in Psalms 83, let's look in the fifth verse. It says, for they have consulted together with one consent. Let's start in the third verse. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Yisrael may be no more in remembrance, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. You hear that? They are confederate against thee, the tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarenes, Ebal, Jebal, and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines and the inhabitants of Tyre. Ashur also is joined with them, and they have hoping the children of Lot. Yahweh said that he was going to take our name away, and he used these nations to do it, as they have sold us into slavery, financed the slave ships and the slave building and the slave trade. These Edomites had all kind of little stores set up throughout the entire slave trading post in the United Snakes of America. And then when the slave trade was up, they turned those little financing institutions into banks, and those little stores that they were charging our people interest so high we would never get free, into banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Rothschild. Yes, these people have cut your name off. But Yahweh said that you would want it back. It's another prophecy Yahweh is able to fulfill. Look at Isaiah, the 44th chapter. There's so many prophecies. I'm going to have to stop at this one because I can go throughout the entire book for the rest of the night, for the rest of my life, showing you prophecies that Yahweh has fulfilled and will fulfill. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh that made thee, inform thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant, and thou, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am Yahweh's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yahweh, and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. Hallelujah! Because I've done this. Isha Yisrael. That's my name. The song that played in the beginning of our show was done by a brother who has done this, Eliah Yisrael. We go to a congregation in Atlanta, the House of Yisrael, and it's taught by a Moray whose name is Elkanah Yisrael. And we're amongst many people whose name is Yisrael. Throughout all the houses of Yisrael in the nation. So this has been fulfilled, and it is being fulfilled right before your eyes. Right before your very eyes. But is it too hard for JC to fulfill just one prophecy? Let's see. Let's see here. Go to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 38th verse. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 38. Let's see if JC was able to fulfill what he prophesied. That's how the preachers love to say it. Prophesies. Let's see if JC fulfilled what he prophesied. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You hear what he said? He said the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Let's see. Let's give some more confirmation on that here. Let's see here. Go to the book of Matthew. Go to the 27th chapter and go to the 57th verse. I'm sorry, let's go to the 61st verse. It states, And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, which would be a Sabbath day, the Sabbath day, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver, and he is a deceiver, said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days will I rise again. So this is something confirmed we see. JC is being confirmed in saying that he would rise on the third or after the third day for 3 days and three nights. They knew it, so they even went to the governor to say, hey, man, you remember, he said this. So command, therefore, verse 64, that the sepulcher may be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. So this was a confirmed statement that Christ had made. Look in Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek JC, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, and he is come. And he, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now, it said, as it began to dawn to the first day after the Sabbath. He died on the sixth day and was put in the earth in the evening. So therefore, it wasn't even in the earth. He was in the cave. Put in the earth in the evening. So you have, you don't even have a whole day. You got one night. Then you got the Sabbath day. He was in the earth on the Sabbath day. Okay, Sabbath day. Then you had the Sabbath night. So you got one day, one night. You're coming up on another night. But before, when the Sabbath was ended, as the Sabbath ended, as it began to dawn. So this is at the end of the night, right before the morning of the first day, he wasn't there already. So you don't have 2 days. You don't even have a full night, two nights. You only got one day. In one, in maybe, you know, 95% of the night, two nights, almost two nights. Now, if you think that a day starts in the evening, you really don't got nothing. And if you know a day starts in the morning, then you know Christ is lying, that he never was in the earth 3 days and three nights. So if you believe in Christ and you believe that a day begins in the morning, please tell me how many days was JC in the earth. His prophecy was not fulfilled, but Yahweh fulfilled his prophecy because it's just too hard for JC to tell the truth. But Yahweh doesn't lie. Let's see another prophecy JC can't fulfill. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 28th verse. Matthew 22, verse 28 states, Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven, for they all had her. JC answered and said to him, You do err in not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Elohim. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given to marriage, but are as angels, as Elohim in heaven. He said, you're not going to get married after the in the new world, nor are you going to be given to marriage. You're not going to have any kind of sex with your loved one that you married. Is that true? Or did he just lie on the Almighty? Go to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. And let's see if that's true. Isaiah chapter 60. It states here in Isaiah 60, in verse 15, Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Yaakov. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron, I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But Yahweh shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy Elohim thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For Yahweh shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. This is the resurrection. This is the new kingdom, just to let you know. Thy people also shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it in its time. Now, how a little one going to become a thousand? And how a strong one going to become a small one going to become a strong nation if they don't get married and have children and multiply? Because that's what's going to happen. Christ's prophecies are null and void. Is there anything too hard for Yahweh? No, because all your people will be righteous. Is there something too hard for JC? Yes, everything. He can't do nothing. Well, if you have any questions or comments, this is the time for me to go to the callers. If you want to disagree with what I said or agree, if you can find something that is not too hard for JC, I would like to see it. Because we've proven that it's too hard for JC to keep the law. It's too hard for JC to teach the law. Oh, and let's show that. It's too hard for JC to teach the law. Look what he said in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Because we know Yahweh taught law, and his servants taught law. It's all we did and all we do. Isaiah, Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, JC says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, all the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do these commandments and teach them so shall be great in the kingdom of heaven." But is it too hard for JC to even uphold his own words? Yes, it is. Because in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 31st verse, he states, "It hath been said, whosoever put away his wife, let him give her a writing in divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Do you hear these words, brothers and sisters? If you marry somebody, according to JC, that has been divorced, you're committing adultery. That's a lie. Deuteronomy 24, look it up. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. Look it up. You can marry a woman that's been divorced legally. You can't remarry. You cannot remarry the woman that you've divorced if she has married another man. But you can remarry a divorced woman. You can marry a divorced woman, and it won't be adultery. But Christ is teaching against the law of Yahweh. He said, "Again, ye have heard it said that it been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Elohim's throne, neither by earth, for it is the footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." But Yahweh said in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, what did he say in Deuteronomy 10, verse 20, "Thou shalt fear Yahweh your Elohim, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name." So, we see that JC, it's just too hard for him to be the truth, because he's not the truth, because he's a lie. JC is a lie, and the truth is not in him. That's what it is, really, though. JC is a lie, and the truth is not in him. And let's confirm that. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter, it states in verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So we see that JC is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is there anything too hard for Yahweh? No. Is there anything too hard for JC? Yes, everything. If you had to make any comments, or if you have any questions, or if you want to rebut anything I've stated. The number is 323-443-7418. And if you're on the line, just press 1. And I see we have some callers. And I'm going to our first caller, 513-578 number. Shalom, you're on the air. State your name and where you calling from.
Shalom, brother. How you doing there? I am Kwame. I'm from Cincinnati.
Shalom,
and,
brother.
Hey, shalom, brother. How you doing there?
Praise Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah. It's a dynamite lesson you're teaching. I think it's very pertinent, you know, to our salvation. And we have to understand who's telling us the truth and who's lying. And I love that last scripture in John that you brought out. And the truth is not within JC at all. And I just want to bring out a scripture in Isaiah 41, you know, and this is a hard task, especially if you're not a servant of the Almighty or sent by the Almighty to perform that in which you have, you know, prophesied and it come true. It says in 41, Isaiah 41:21, verse 21, it says, produce your cause, say Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king, the Yaakov. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them, and know not an end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are God. Ye do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. And JC, or Jesus, through his word, proved not to be a God, being not
right.
able to do what it is he said would happen. As for an example, when you go to Luke 21, verse 18, and there with me, let me, if you have that, brother, is it possible you can read that for me?
Luke 21, verse 18, it states, Luke 21:18 states, but there shall not be a hair of your head perish in
now,
your patience, possess you your
and
souls.
We that scripture right there, that verse right there, that's a promise. To those who follow him.
Yep.
And you know, our creator and our king, who we follow, has made on all his promises.
That's right.
And this brother not only promised them once here, but go to the 30, if I'm not mistaken, the 32nd verse.
Yep, it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled.
Now, let me say this, brother. There's a great magazine called National Geographic.
Yep.
And they have an issue, and anyone can pick it up. It's a March 2012. And I would like to read something from out of this, if I might. Is that all right, brother?
Go ahead.
Traditions hold that 11 of the 12 apostles were martyred.
That's
Peter,
right.
Andrew, and Philip were crucified.
That's right.
James, the greater of Thaddeus, fell to the sword.
That's right. And I'd like to say also, I'm sorry to cut you off, they were crucified upside down.
That's right.
With blood falling all over their head.
That's right. Oh, and brother, I'm glad you brought that up because these are nightmares.
Yes.
What Yah has promised us is a dream.
Yes.
And these are nightmares. James the lesser was beaten to death while praying for his attackers.
So you know they hit him in his head first.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Bartholomew was flayed alive and then crucified.
And they cut his head off.
Wow. Amazing, brother. And for the last two, Thomas and Matthew, they were speared.
Yes.
And Matthias was stoned to death.
Yes.
Oh, dang. And then it has Simon was either crucified or sawed in half.
Yes. So
wow.
A lot of their hairs were definitely harmed.
Yes, brother, and I thank you for your time, and this is a great station. I wish I'd known earlier, you know, some of the topics, because now I'm growing, and I just could have grown a lot more, you know, by tuning in.
Well, hallelujah. Keep on tuning in, brother. We appreciate your call and your input. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All praises to the King.
Praise Yah. Shalom.
Shalom.
And we're going to go to our next caller from another 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air. What's your name? All right.
Hello.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Yes. And your name?
My name is Shakia.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Praise God.
I have a question about John 1, verses 1 through 17.
Okay.
Where,
is there a specific verse you have a question about?
Yeah, the first verse.
The first verse? All right. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, what's your question?
So, well, if you read on to verse... well, basically, the Word became flesh. If you read on, that's what it states, is that the Word became flesh, which was Christ himself was the Word that actually became flesh.
Well, let me ask you this question, sister. Since we did our whole show on proving that Christ was a liar and there's no truth in him, if you can show us a verse where Christ actually did something that was truthful, then we could believe this right here. But there's, quite frankly, nothing that Christ did that ever happened. Can you show a verse that Christ told the truth? We showed about four witnesses this evening that Christ didn't fulfill his words. Can you show us where it was fulfilled?
At the second, I can't.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But as it does say here in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Actually, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't say, let there be Christ, and there was Christ. No, he said, let there be light, and there was light. So in the beginning was the words of the Most High creating the heavens, earth, and sea. And there was no JC. So I appreciate your call, but if you can find us a scripture, call us back and let us know. All right, sister?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to another caller, another 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air. State your name and where you calling from.
Shalom, this is Azariah. How you doing?
Shalom, brother. How you doing?
Doing great, man. I've been enjoying the show. I have a caller that's calling in. Well, she's listening for the first time, and she has some questions that she want to ask you.
All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you're on air.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Now, from what I've been taught and learned, I have some scriptures here. I got my scriptures because... okay, you pointing out that Christ is a liar, so to me it's sounding like you're saying the Most High is a liar, because I have scriptures where Most High said his son, or he considered Jacob, or JC, whatever you call him, to be his son. So I mean, it really just sounds like throughout the whole thing, take no offense to this, this is only my opinion, that you was basically making the Most High out to be a contradictor, as if like he's going back on his word. Now,
okay. Go ahead.
If you start off with Jeremiah 22:30, it tells you that no man is to rule over Judah again.
Jeremiah 22, chapter 22.
Yeah, chapter 22. No, wait, nope. Yeah, chapter 22:24-30.
Mm-hmm.
Most High tell you that no man is to rule over Judah again. Now, my point for bringing that up is JC was not a man. In order to be a man, you have to come from the seed of a man.
Okay,
when the angel spoke to Mary, now if you go to Luke,
okay, sister, let me address a couple of things you've already stated, because we do have other callers on the line.
Okay.
Let me address, you said that I was calling the Most High a liar, and I was saying the Most High was contradicting himself, and that JC is not a man. So you believe that JC is the Most High. But if you go and look in the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, we'll see what Yahweh states here. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, it states, I am Yahweh. That is my name, not JC, not J-E-S-U-S, not Yehoshua, not Yahshua, not Yahweh Shai, not Christ, but I am Yahweh. That is my name. And he said, my glory will I not give to another. So I won't give it to this fellow they're calling my firstborn son or my only begotten son. I won't give it to this guy that they're calling J-E-S-U-S. Yes, hold on, sister. He said, I will not give it to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's all Christ is a graven image. He's not the Most High. And again, look in the book of John, St. John, the 20th chapter, the 17th verse. Even though we see people call JC the Most High, what did Christ himself say about himself being the Most High? JC says in John, the 20th chapter, the 17th verse, he stated right here, and it states, JC saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. So we see Christ has a God. Christ said he's the root and the offspring of David in Revelations 22:16. Christ said that he has a God. Christ said that he's not the good one. Christ said that you have to serve his Father. Therefore, we know that Christ is not the Most High. And he said that he wasn't. So I didn't call the Most High a lie. I called JC.
Okay, may I say something?
Graven image a lie. Yes, you go ahead and say one more thing.
Okay. The picture that we know of Christ is a graven image. But as far as there's too many scriptures in the Bible where the Most High is speaking and he speaks of his son. Who is his son? Also, an angel was sent to Mary. It didn't say a demon or anything like that. It said an angel that came from the Most High.
Hello? It seems that our sister has been cut off. But I will... Okay. I will address her questions that she just stated. Who is Yahweh's son? And what about this angel? Well, we'll see who Yahweh's son is. In the book of Exodus, the 4th chapter, we'll see if Yahweh said his son is J-E-S-U-S or somebody else. Let's see. Exodus, the 4th chapter, starting at the 21st verse. And it states, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou doest all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith Yahweh, Yisrael is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. If thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Yahweh said Yisrael is his firstborn son. That's the son of the Most High. That's the firstborn son of Yahweh, the nation of Yisrael. Not J-E-S-U-S. And this angel, what is this angel? Did this angel come and speak in the name of the Almighty? Was this even a real occurrence? Did this even happen? Well, we could tell by what the words that he spoke to this Mary. Who is this Mary? I want to know that. Everybody want to talk about the angel. Who is this Mary? So let's go to the book of lies. I mean the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, the first chapter, let's see here. Verse 18, now the birth of JC was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost, the one you can't blaspheme, the one that if you blaspheme, you'll be damned forever. Yahweh won't forgive you for the Holy Ghost. That's what JC said. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord, not Yahweh, it doesn't say thus saith Yahweh here, it just says the angel of the Lord, which is your B-A-A-L, your master, the angel of the deity of heaven, because that's who it is, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. So some holy dead spirit, some demon, some unholy demon, some ghost. Ghost is a dead spirit. You know, death is unclean. Dead bodies, familiar spirits is going on here. The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. In your old King James 16:11 versions, it say I-E-S-U-S, which means Hail Z-E-U-S. This is talking about some Greek deity. But nevertheless, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, we already proved that JC wasn't willing to save nothing. So we see that's a lie. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by somebody they called the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Oh, so now they're taking from Yahweh's book. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted with us is God with us. Now, which one is his name? Emmanuel. Or Z-E-U-S. And we know that he's not Emmanuel because that was for King Ahab in the time when the two kingdoms were trying to defeat Yehuda and it didn't happen. Emmanuel was born. And that just didn't go on. You could look in Isaiah, the 7th chapter. And also the book of Kings, 16th chapter, to see that this was not for J.C. J.C. has nothing to do with Isaiah 7. Nothing. And he's not Emmanuel. His name was J-E-S-U-S. See, we have another caller. 773 area code. Shalom, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Shalom, shalom, my beloved brother. This is Brother Lavelle from Chicago under Maury Dawee. How you doing today, brother?
All right. All right, brother. You said you're from Maury Dawee's class.
Yes, brother.
Hallelujah. Good to hear you, brother. Shalom.
Hallelujah. I want to give thanks and praise to the Almighty, the Father Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother. You touched on a very interesting topic today, brother. I wanted to, if I did have the chance, touch on a verse that was very key in the Old Testament.
Yes.
Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, verse 11.
Yes.
It states, I am Yah,
yes.
And besides me there is no
Savior. That's right, brother.
it is very key that, you know, people pay attention to, besides me, there is no Savior.
That's right.
Because, you know, the Most High made specifically a point when he referred to his son as being Israel.
That's
he
right.
He never said that there was going to be a son or a JC character to come. Also stated in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, verse 6, that they may know, Yahuwah said, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yah, and there is none else.
Hallelujah.
Brother, I want to say I appreciate the lesson. You know, it's very, it's a blessing to tune in and, you know, keep it up, brother. You're doing a wonderful work.
Well, praise the mighty Yahweh, and make sure you say shalom to Morey Dawid from all of us at the House of Israel. We're hoping to see and hear from him again and your whole entire class. Shalom, brother. Thank you for calling.
Shalom, shalom, brother.
All right. Hallelujah. And we have another caller, our brother, our warrior in the field, Brother Nathaniah Yisrael. Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
What's going on?
I want to go to Matthew 10 because I didn't. I'm definitely not going to. Christ said something that was he came to bring pain. I want to go to Matthew chapter 10 because it was talking about how he came to set a man against his father, and we see that's the exact opposite of what Elijah's supposed to do. Elijah's supposed to come back to send the fathers to the children and the children to the father. But and that's why I want to read. I want to read Matthew chapter 10 because it talks about how we're going to be against one another, and then it's something similar in the book of. Micah chapter 7, where it talk about fathers to the children, but that's when people were not doing the law. So basically, I'm just saying that JC, he's telling people to go against their fathers, to go against the law. And, like, you know, we had a law against stubborn, rebellious children in Deuteronomy, where it talked about how a child rebellious and you take them to the judges. But right here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, it says, "Think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. I come and said a man in barrenness against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
That's right.
And a man's foe shall be of his own household." Now, that's funny because one time I brought this up, and I was, of course, it was in Micah chapter 7, and it talked about how there was nobody upright in the earth, and he can't trust not any brother. In fact, I want to read it. Verse 5, it said in Micah 7, it said, "Trust me not in the friend. Put not your confidence in the guide. Keep the doors of your mouth from her that lies in that bosom. For the son dishonors the father, and the daughter raised up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's enemies are the man of his own household." And right here, this is because the people wasn't doing the law. They was not doing the law. And basically, right. He comes for people not to do the law. He said, "I come to put you against your people." See,
that's
when people
right.
do the law, we're not against our people when we do the law. When we do the law, we are not dishonoring our father. That's not doing the law. But when JC said he came to do that, so, I mean, all the false deities do this. Obviously, this is before JC, so all the false deities do it.
Yes.
But, you know, but JC did come. He did bring lawlessness, and that's what you do when you dishonor your parents, which JC advocates. He's pushing that agenda. And you see it in the neighborhood, but like I said, any false deity can lay that claim. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. When you follow a false deity, you're going to hate your father and your mother, and that's what happens when you follow JC.
That's right, brother.
That's all I wanted to say about it.
Well, hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Thank you for your call and your input, brother.
Yep.
We appreciate all your work. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise Yah.
Shalom. Well, we praise the mighty Yahweh for this program.